And again, the rich sounds of the temple choir here at Koto Church of the Oranges. That was wonderful. I love that sound. I heard the rumbling of the bass in the back. Did you hear the bass? Bass had it down. I absolutely appreciate, validate, and celebrate ministry of our temple choir. Come on, put your hands together one more time. I'm so glad King Jesus is listening all day long to hear some sinner pray. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad he's listening. I'm so glad not only does he listen, but he hears and he answers prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, choir, for an excellent, excellent rendition. I don't know if y'all would let me in. I would love to come in to sing that song. Maybe. Do I have to audition? Amen. Amen. Bless God. We want to remind all of our first-time guests, first and second-time guests, it's imperative that you fill out your communication card and turn that in. You do want to receive what I will send you during the week. You will get a personal gift from myself, along with a handwritten note. So please make sure you fill that out and turn in your communication card with the tithe and offering. I am preaching a somewhat controversial sermon, but it's okay if you're interested in growth, if you're interested in study, if you're interested in truth, this sermon will be liberating for you. We are speaking today on the subject theories of the origin of black, the black man or the black woman of blacks in scripture. What are those theories that have been espoused by various authors throughout the years that have impacted how we were seen or how blacks have been treated? I will also preface my remarks by saying we don't want to offend anybody, because this is a church that is an international church, a marvelous collage of the people of God, of all walks of life. And we want everybody to feel welcome here at the Church of the Oranges. We want our white brethren, black brethren, Hispanic, Portuguese, Chinese, Filipino, come on, Korean. We want everybody to feel at home in the Church of the Oranges. Is that all right, everybody? But as we celebrate Black History Month, we're not attempting to make anyone greater than anybody else. What we're trying to do by sharing today is level the playing field to ensure that everybody knows that we are all created in the image of God. Can I get a witness? For those who would like a little bit deeper study in the subject matter that I will present today, there's a book I'd like to reference, and that book is written by Dr. Kane Hope Felder, professor at Howard University School of Divinity. The book is called Stony the Road We Trod by Dr. Kane Hope Felder. You may also want to review his scholarly work, Troubling Biblical Waters. These are both scholarly pieces. So it will be a good read, but it will be a heavy read. Is that all right, everybody? If you are into getting depth and substance, I encourage you to pick up both of those books. They will be educational and informational to you in this field of study. So I want to go now to Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 to 27. And I ask you if you would stand on your feet with me as we look at the Word of God today and read it together. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 20. Are you with me? The Bible says in verse number 20, what does it say, everybody? And Noah, and he planted what, everybody? And And so Noah got drunk. And Ham saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Next verse. And Shem took a and laid it where, everybody? And they walked how? They went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now the next verse says, and Noah, that's why you shouldn't drink. All right? The next verse. And he said, cursed be Cain. Servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Next verse. And he said, of Shem, and Canaan shall be what, everybody? And the last verse. God, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Father God, bless your word now, we pray. May it enlighten us. May it educate us. May it inspire us. And God, may it free us. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen and amen. Look at your neighbor, tell him, I like who God made you. And I like who God made me. There are many theories developed throughout antiquity to explain the question of where did black people come from? Where did black people come from? The most popular theory of the origin of blacks is actually this verse that we just read. It's called the Old Ham Theory. It is this theory mostly which has been used to justify the subjugation and the subordination of people of color all over the world. It is interesting to note, by the way, it's interesting to note that the Bible casts no such aspersions upon black people. The Bible does not say in this verse, blacks shall serve whites or blacks shall be slaves. But the interpreters of scripture, as far back as the first century, began to cast a shadow over the status of blacks. And throughout the past 1900 or so years, there's been a conscious effort to demean, belittle, and to demonize the role of blacks in scripture, to undermine the African influence in the Bible. Are you with me, everybody? Matter of fact, if you look in your Bibles right now and observe the maps in your Bible, you will see almost nothing that resembles Africa. But don't ever forget this. Egypt is Africa. Israel is just North Africa. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. As a matter of fact, the intent to minimize the black influence is so pervasive and so obvious that almost in every single Bible that I've seen in my entire life from childhood until now, almost every single regular King James Version Bible has had all white people except maybe Simon of Cyrene and the Ethiopian eunuch. Everybody else in scripture, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, has been a person that looks European. Notwithstanding the fact that the Bible was written in North Africa. So let's back up and examine this old Ham theory and get some clarification. The rabbis of the early Talmudic periods, the first century, and the early church fathers used the scenario of Genesis chapter 9, our scripture reading, to demean black people. Later, Europeans would use the so-called curse of Ham theory to justify our enslavement. Now, as you look at the passage itself, I want you to pick up a few clear things that are in the passage. Noah, number one, Noah does not anywhere pronounce a curse on the children of Ham. Come on. Noah does not place any curse on all of the children of Ham. As a matter of fact, Noah does not say anything about the color or hair texture of Ham's descendants. Are you listening to me, everybody? As a matter of fact, when you look further, when you look a little deeper, Canaan was Ham's son, and it would appear from the text that Canaan also saw his grandfather naked, and thus the curse was placed on him because as a younger person, it was inappropriate for him to see his granddad naked. And it would appear from the text that the curse was placed specifically on Canaan, not on any of the other children of Ham. Come on. And when you read scripture, Ham had several children. Now, there are many questions that arise out of this passage, but because of the intention of some to subjugate one group and exalt another group, they have taken as prejudicial an interpretation as possible in order to justify our enslavement, which is in effect sacrilegious. It is sacrilegious to twist the Bible to use it for your own ends. By the way, you understand that slavery could not exist without theological underpinnings. For slavery to be justified by Christians, y'all didn't hear me. For slavery to be justified by so-called Christians, they had to find a rationale, a biblical rationale, to say what we're doing is right. And they twisted the Bible. Come on now. I did say they twisted the Bible. I did say they manipulated the Bible to their own ends in order to justify their illicit and ungodly profiteering by the enslavement of people of color. Now, there have been some unbelievable explanations given regarding the curse of Ham. One explanation given is this. It was suggested that Ham possibly castrated his father in the ark, that he possibly also sexually assaulted his father, that he possibly had incestual relations with his mother, that he possibly had sexual relations with his wife while on board the ark. In a translation of the Hebrew English edition of the Babylonian Talmud, edited by Epstein, printed by Sancio Press of London, 1969, this is what it states. This is what, and I'm quoting now. Our rabbis taught three copulated in the ark, and they were punished. The dog, the raven, and Ham. The dog was doomed to be tied. The raven expectorates his seed into his mate's mouth, and Ham was smitten in his skin. The Babylonian Talmud also had a narrative of Noah's curse of Ham. The Talmud, and I quote, writes this, and I quote, "Moreover, because you twisted your head around to see my nakedness, your grandchildren's hair shall be twisted into nicks. And their eyes red. Again, because your lips jested at my misfortune, their lips shall swell. And because you neglected my nakedness, they shall go naked. And their male members shall be shamefully elongated. Men of this race are called Negroes." There is a second theory regarding the origin of blacks, which is separate and distinct from the old Ham theory. And yet, in some instances, it's tied to the old Ham theory. This could be called the Black Cain theory. Are y'all with me, everybody? Touch your neighbor. Tell him, get you being educated. Tell him you being educated today. Come on, touch them, tell them, you being educated. It's all right, it's all right. The second theory regarding the origin of black is called, the Black Cain theory. One idea is that the mark that God placed on Cain was the curse of blackness. Another idea of the account, the rabbi said that Cain was cursed with blackness because he offered an unacceptable sacrifice to God, and the smoke from the sacrifice blew up in his face, blackening it. Now you must understand, I'm not giving you craziness. I'm giving you stuff that's written in books by alleged scholars. They use Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5 when the Bible says, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. The falling of his countenance was blackness. Are you with me? Are y'all getting this stuff? Another idea was this. God, and I quote now, God was wroth with Cain and beat Cain's face with hail, which blackened like coal, and thus he remained a black face. In other words, every possible explanation for black people was based on a curse. The Cain theory has been a part of European theology since the 1100s. Now, I mentioned earlier that the Cain theory has been associated with the Ham theory, and this is how that theory goes. It basically suggests that Ham married a daughter of Cain, and thus the continuation of Cain's seed after the flood through Noah's family. So y'all doubly cursed. You got the curse from Cain, and you got the curse from Ham. Then y'all married and got the double whammy. Big lips, big nose. Y'all not listening to me. Nappy-headed Negroes. That's the theology, ladies and gentlemen. There's a third view. It's called the pre-Adamite view. This one was particularly pernicious and held high level of validity by the slave masters. According to this view, blacks are not descendants of Adam, but rather they belong to a black race created before Adam, and from among whom Cain found his wife. And thus, in this way, Cain became the progenitor of black people. As Europeans sailed to the New World during the 14th and 1500s, this view prepared the way for the castigation and categorization of black people as beasts of the field. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. So y'all are not real people because you didn't come from Adam and Eve. You're part animal. Are y'all listening to me? You are the beast of the field to be subjugated to manual labor. Matter of fact, they even went as far as to say that the beast of the field represented the serpent that tempted Eve, and that's y'all Negroes. Do you notice the particular sexual overtones of so many of these applications to people of color? No wonder the slave master particularly hated the black man looking at the white woman in the big house. Y'all not listening to me? If you dared. In the course of the 19th century, there developed still another view with regards to the black presence in the Old Testament. This view could be called the New Hamite view. It blows my mind. When I read this stuff, y'all touch a neighbor, tell them, wake up. You're learning something. The New Hamite view holds that the Hamites were white black people. Let me elucidate. They say that even Cush was not really black, but he was Caucasianoid black, because they allege
that Negroes were not in the purview of the biblical writers. So although the biblical writers were in North Africa, they were never exposed to Negroes. Y'all not listening to this? In supporting this view, Paul Heinz, in his book, History of the Old Testament, says regarding the Table of Nations, he says, the list of the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10 is not exhaustive. No reference is made to the Indians, Negroes, Mongoloids, Malaysians, Chinese, Japanese, etc. The author names only the people within his own sphere of knowledge. Presumably, all the people that the author was exposed to, based on Heinz's view, were white people in North Africa. Martin North, in his book, The Old Testament World, page 236, North says this. He says, this one here jumped out at me as, really? I want y'all, when I finish reading this, I want y'all just say, really? Because it's so crazy. North says this. Martin North says, the Egyptians frequently portrayed Negroes. The Egyptians also portrayed the people living along the Nile south of Egypt in a generalized and certainly incorrect manner, with typical Negro face, beardless, and with large earrings, especially in the stereotyped lists of the conquest in foreign lands, by incorrectly classifying the Nubians as Negroes. The Nubians... Are y'all with me? The Nubians were at most slightly related to the Negro tribes bordering them in the south. In other words, he's saying the Negroes were really white people with black skin. And the Egyptians incorrectly portrayed them as Negroes with big lips in their drawings. But what they're saying is the Egyptians were wrong in that portrayal. Y'all got it now? Thus, according to the New Hamite view, there were absolutely no blacks in scripture at all. No mulattoes. Everybody in scripture is from England. Spoke with a British accent. Tally-o, fellow. Let me say to you folks, and you got to understand, my intent today is to liberate the people of God. Knowledge is power. Come on, somebody. Knowledge is power. The Bible says you got to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing the Bible is freedom. Somebody ought to say amen. Knowing Jesus is freedom. Knowing your history is freedom. Knowing your destiny is freedom. Knowing where you came from is freedom. Come on, somebody. Our prisons are filled today with young black men who, because they lack knowledge, they did not understand where they came from. They did not understand who they were. And they did not understand the value that God placed on them. They lost their way. It's interesting to note that there are several terms, adjectives, and actual proper names which indicate people of color in scripture. I'm going to give them to you now. Among these are names like Sohar in the original language, Ham, which is really Hum in the original language, Kadar, Phinehas, and Cush or Cush. Are you with me? Zahar and its derivatives is a term used to describe color or skin or complexion. It's used in the Song of Solomon, where Song of Solomon says, I am black and comely. I mean, he wasn't speaking in euphemistic terms. He was saying, I'm really black. Y'all not listening to me. The word Ham is an adjective. It's translated warm or hot. The word is also used poetically to describe Egypt as the land of Hum, the land of Ham. At the color term, the closest approximate to the word Ham is the word Hum, which means darkened, dark brown, or black. The other word, Kadar, and its derivatives imply to be dark, swarthy, very black, or dusky. Come on now. That word means black, black. It don't mean light skin black. Are y'all with me, everybody? So it is the name also of one of the sons of Ishmael, and also the name of a very powerful Arabian tribe in several biblical texts. Here's another word, Phinehas. The word Phinehas from the Egyptian Paneshi, which means Negro or Nubian. This was the name of the grandson, one of Aaron's grandson. By far, the word that is used to designate a black presence most frequently in scripture is the word Cush or Cush. This word appears at least 58 times in the King James Version. People may try to debate you. They may try to undermine it. They may try to deny it. But the record shows by their own archaeological discovery, by the admission of the Greeks and the Jews and the Romans, that Western Asia and North Africa, where they came together to form Israel, had a strong Negro black presence. When I went to Jericho many years ago, I walked down the streets of Jericho and I saw original Jerichites, Brahman, standing on the corner like he was from Newark, New Jersey. And it blew my mind because I never knew that there were black people original to Jericho. It blew my mind. Brahman, just like they do in Newark. Can't speak English, but you know the nod. It's international. Can I get a witness, somebody? And that is what's up. Can I get a witness out there? Here's something also that's interesting. Modern archaeological discoveries and modern historians have come to the conclusion by verification and by overwhelming evidence that the Elamites, who in the tribe of the nations in Genesis chapter 10 verse 22 are listed under Shem, were people of color. Many of these people were black people. In other words, what archaeologists have discovered is that just because somebody came from the tribe of Ham doesn't mean that they are automatically black, or from the tribe of Shem that they're automatically white. Because based on the definition that the Europeans gave us, if you got 1 ounce of black in you in America, you're black. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. Anybody seen that movie called Free State of Jones? Free State of Jones was a movie about the Knight family. Anna Knight had tremendous impact on Oakwood University. Anna Knight was one of the first African-American missionaries to leave this country to go to India. A brilliant woman. But her story is in the movie Free State of Jones, where a black woman married a white man. Are y'all with me, everybody? Down in Mississippi. And the story is so amazing because as the generations move forward, one of the Knight boys was, he could pass for white. And he married a white woman in Mississippi, where it was illegal for a Negro to marry a white woman. This boy looked lily white. But because he had 1 ounce of Negro blood, y'all not listening to me, they took him to court and forced him to divorce his white wife. Y'all not with me. Are y'all still with me, everybody? Therefore, based on the definition of these so-called rulers, so-called systems, based on their definition, if you got 1 ounce of black blood in you, you're black. Problem is, they change the definition on you when it ain't convenient. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. See, now if you follow that definition, it would suggest that almost 70% of everybody in scripture is black. If all you need is an ounce, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Are we together? Which would mean Jesus. Ooh, somebody asked me, Pastor, is Jesus black or white? Well, I said, well, let's go back and look at his lineage. He had a great, great, great grandmama named Tamar, a Hamite. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me so far?
He also had a great, great, great grandmother named Bathsheba, a Hamite. Come on, somebody. He also had another great, great, great grandmother named Ruth, a Hamite. And a great, great, great grandmother named Bathsheba, a Hamite. He got at least four Hamite women in his lineage. Do you want to ask me that question again? The one thing I know, Jesus ain't from England. And his hair is not blonde.
Oh, Lord, did I say, oh, some of y'all looking like me, Pastor, that's sacrilege. Because all the picture I ever saw of Jesus is a beautiful white guy, straight nose. Come on, blonde hair flowing down to his shoulder. I'm sorry to tell you that Jesus probably had a few little naps in the back of his head. Y'all didn't hear what I just said.
Now, you could call him a light-skinned brother if you want. Come on, somebody. See, and I'm of the opinion, I am of the opinion that Chinese people, if they want a Chinese portrayal of Jesus, that's okay. Come on now. If white people want a white portrayal of Jesus, that's okay. If Hispanic people want a Hispanic portrayal of Jesus, that's all right. If Indian people want an Indian-looking Jesus, I don't have a problem. Why is it that all of us seem to have a problem when there's a picture of a black Jesus? As Brown Man would say, what the problem is? I had one guy walk through the church with me, and an old friend of mine. And one of the first things when he walked into the back office, he said, why y'all got a white Jesus on the wall? And I wanted to say to him, man, we've been programmed. We've been programmed to think everything black is wrong. Somebody talk to me today. We've been programmed to think black music is wrong. Black drums are wrong. I'm stepping on somebody's feet. Black swaying side to side is wrong. And only what the English people taught us is right. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. I know I'm messing with your mind, but I'm telling you the truth anyhow. And what we've got to do is stop with the self-deprecation and depreciation and devaluing and understand that God made all men and women equal. Can I get a witness, somebody? We are all one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Can I get a witness, somebody? And we need to stop devaluing each other by talking about he's so black he shine. You did not determine your skin color. I didn't hear anybody say amen. Your skin color was given to you by Almighty God, not the devil. God made you light skin. If that's who you are, my brother, walk around and enjoy your vanilla. There ain't nothing wrong with that. If God made you dark skin, walk around and enjoy your color of your dark chocolate, my brother. Can I get a witness? If you're in between, come on, somebody. If you're in between, if you're caramel, enjoy your caramel color. God made you who you are. Talk about good hair and bad hair. Ain't no such thing as good hair and bad hair. Thank God if you got hair. And if you ain't got none, but you got some money to buy you some, praise God for that too. Work that thing out. You say, Pastor, why is this even important? Let me tell you this. I've seen this thing with my own eyes, and some of you have lived it. People call your names because of the color of your skin. Some of your own people. And the self-hatred was created because we were told something negative about who we are. So you got people in church now, if they see somebody swaying side to side, why they got to sway side to side? But baby, if I got the rhythm, I can't help myself. Can I get a witness, somebody? It's in my bloodstream. Some of y'all trying to hold it back. Some of you trying to hold it back. You're trying to, you know, Yeah, you're trying to hold it back because you were taught that you had to hold it back. Don't you dare move in church. You can jump all in your spirit, but don't jump, but don't you hold that foot down. Your foot is trying to move, you're trying to hold it down. You're trying to hold, you don't want that thing to move because somebody messed up your mind. If black, it's African, therefore it's evil. I thank God when he made me, he didn't make a mistake. I didn't hear anybody say amen. Celebrate who you are. My brother, celebrate who you are. Ain't nothing wrong with who you are. You enjoy who God made you. Can I get a witness, somebody? My Hispanic brother, celebrate who you are. My brother from the Philippines, celebrate who you are. My Brazilian brother, sisters, celebrate who you are. My sister from England, if that's your thing, celebrate who you are. Australia, celebrate who you are. Come on now. But if you're from Korea, China, celebrate who you are. If you're white, if you're Indian, celebrate who you are. But guess what? I'm going to celebrate who I am without apology. Big lips and all. Come on now. And I'm not having surgery. Don't you go lightening your skin. Like Michael Jackson, you take off your shirt, you look like a penguin. Face light, rest of you black. Come on now. Celebrate who you are. Somebody ought to say amen out there. See, because this is important, ladies and gentlemen, because many young people continue to believe what the writers of history have told us, that you came from nothing, that you ain't nothing, you ain't never gonna be nothing. Come on now. By deliberate attempts, they have excluded people like me from the picture of Scripture. And the only conclusion I can draw is that they will do whatever is necessary to maintain a negative self-image of me, to paint a negative self-image of me to me, and to continue creating this negative scenario about our forebears. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so much easier for me to be shown a picture of somebody like me starving rather than somebody like me in royal regalia. It's so much easier for me to see a picture of me, of somebody like me in handcuffs, rather than see him sitting on a throne with a crown on his head. Somebody ought to say amen out there. We need to change the picture. We are royal, regal, stately, classy, elegant. Come on, somebody. Come on now. Created in the image of God, made by the hand of God, not an accident, not some offline creature coming from Cain, not the beast of the field, not the curse of Ham. I am created in the image of Almighty God. And when God made me, he made nothing else like me. Somebody ought to say amen. Nappy head and all. Hard for us to get past this programming. God help me. The self-deprecating programming. It's hard to get past it because so often the negative image keeps coming back. Am I right about it? See, and I don't expect that just because I preach this sermon, it's all going to get fixed automatically. You're going to have to work on believing, and in speaking to yourself about who God made you. Come on, somebody. Come on now. We're told we don't have the intelligence. Can't make the grade. Can't do the job well. Big lip, nappy headed, and ugly. But you are beautiful. You are handsome. You are intelligent. You are capable. You are able. Come on now. Come on. You are qualified. I'm talking to somebody here today. You can do the job like anybody else. When I turn to my Bible through the years where I think, boy, you should find some solace, some fairness, some equality, all the pictures I've seen as a child painted a different picture of me. So this is what I want us to do. Sabbath school, y'all listening to me? I want y'all to go find some black pictures of people in the Bible for our children to see. Go find them. It's okay that we have some white people. I want that. What I'm asking for is equality and variety. Are you with me, everybody? I don't want almost 90% being one color. That does not represent truth. Can I get a witness, somebody? No matter what they say, I'm coming home now. No matter what they say, let the record show that the Pishon and the Gihon River in Genesis chapter 2 were located in North Africa, came out of Lake Victoria, flowed down through Ethiopia. So the Garden of Eden expanded from North Africa up to Iraq. Are you with me, everybody? We only talk about the Euphrates, but nobody ever talks about the Pishon and the Gihon. Come on now. That's North Africa. Let the record show, no matter what they tell you, that Adam and Eve were created in North African soil, which means they were probably mulattoes. Y'all didn't hear me. They may not have been black. They definitely could not have been white. They had to have the genetic capacity that from their loins could come white and black. Which means if they were white, black can't come from white. Y'all didn't hear me. Did I confuse you? Black cannot come from white. And white cannot come from black. But if you're a mulatto. Can I get a witness, somebody? Am I giving you something that makes sense? They had to be in between there somewhere. No matter what they tell you, Adam and Eve were Afro-Asiatic, created in the center of the then known world, so that if their children move north, they'd be okay. East, they'd be okay. West, they'd be okay. South, they'd also be okay. Can I get a witness, somebody? Let the record show that Abraham and his family were Afro-Asiatic. Abraham fathered Ishmael of Hagar, the Egyptian. Oh, my God. That furthermore, Judah had children by Tamar, a Canaanite Hamite. Let the record show that our forefathers were builders of pyramids, that they were mathematicians. Their knowledge was so far advanced of their times that even today, archaeologists and physicists and architects stand in awe, in wonder and amazement at what they were able to create with so little. Come on, somebody say amen. For that which they have done have never been duplicated in all of antiquity. Oh, people will talk about you. They will demean you. They will tell you you ain't nothing, ain't go amount to nothing, ain't come from nothing. But let the record show that Joseph thought enough about Africans that he married an Egyptian, Asenath by name, and fathered two of the 12 tribes by her, Ephraim and Manasseh. Y'all didn't hear me. And Manasseh is the tribe listed in the 12 tribes that will make it in to heaven at the end of time. Somebody ought to say amen. Let the record show that Moses thought enough of a dark-skinned woman named Zipporah that he married her, fathered children for him. And when Miriam got in his face, talking about, why you married that woman? She's so black. Why you marry her? And had her wimpy brother Aaron talking about, yes, she is. The Bible says that God came down and pronounced a curse on Miriam, and she became leprous as white as snow, the Bible says. Can I get a witness? The Bible tells us, let the record show that Aaron, the brother of Moses, had a grandson named Phinehas who served as priest in Israel, who was a young man of color. No matter what they say, let the record show that when Israel left Egypt, many Egyptians left with them and made up a part of the mixed multitude so that Africans were a part of the Israelites. Let the record show that right now the Philistine Jews blacker than you and I are in North Ethiopia today. Let the record show that deep in South Africa, you have the Lemba people who practice every Jewish rite today and whose bloodline has been proven to connect with authentic Jews in Israel. Let the record show that we are made of all one people by the power of Almighty God. Somebody ought to say amen. Let the record show that not only did David hook up with Bathsheba, a Hamite, produce Solomon, half a Hamite, but that Solomon further hooked up with an Egyptian. Come on, huh? Married an Egyptian. Then Solomon hooked up with the Queen of Sheba from Ethiopia. And from their union, the record suggests, came Menelik, emperor of Ethiopia. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. So there's a deep history of black people and people of color in North Africa connected to the people of Israel, who today still practice all the rites of Judaism. Let the record show, no matter what they say, that Ham's sons included Cush, Put, Canaan, who's the father of the Canaanites, who were people of color. Rahab the harlot of Jericho was a woman of color. So when I read Matthew chapter 1, and it highlights these women who are in the lineage of Jesus, it's almost as if the Bible made specific attempt to include the four women who were of Hamite descent. Just in case you're wondering, God was trying to silence the critics. So, if you want to know what I believe, young people, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that we are all equal at the foot of the cross. I believe that there's no big you and little me, but that we are all at the foot of the cross playing on level ground. Can I get a witness, somebody? I believe that we have great white people, and we ought to celebrate great white leaders like Abraham Lincoln. Come on now. I believe we ought to celebrate great Chinese and Oriental people like Genghis Khan and Mahatma Gandhi. Y'all not listening to me. But I have no apologies celebrating Thutmose II. Come on now. And Akhenaten. And I have no problem celebrating Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King. Can I get a witness, somebody? There should be no apologies for celebrating our fathers who paved the way, set the stage, who bore their share of life's burden. I thank God that even in the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he bore his cross down that lonely path, the Via Dolorosa, and up towards Calvary, when they couldn't find anybody to help him along the way, there stood a man, a black man, Simon of Cyrene. When Jesus fell beneath the weight, Simon came by and said, "Jesus, I'll help you bear your cross." Placed the rugged cross on his shoulder. Walked all the way to Golgotha's hill, where the cross was taken from the black man and Jesus was nailed to the cross. I stopped by to tell somebody today, I don't care what anybody says, I believe that Jesus has a special place in his heart for you and for me, because we know how to bear crosses. We know how to handle shame. We know how to come through adversity. We know how to come up the rough side of the mountain. We know how to say, I may be down, but I'm not out. God is not through with me yet. Can I get a witness, somebody? We know what it means to say, I'm going on in Jesus' name. Billows may roll, breakers may dash. I shall not stray, because he holds me fast. Don't dark my way. Clouds in the sky said it's all right, because Jesus is nigh. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it in. Somebody ought to give him a praise. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So I'll bear my cross, but I'll wear my crown in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Thank you, Jesus. That's why you don't quit. That's why you don't give up. That's why you don't throw in the towel. Because no matter what they throw at you, as long as the Lord is on your side, you're going to make it through. Touch your neighbor. Tell him, I'm a survivor. Touch somebody. Tell him, I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise him. Thank you, Jesus. He's worthy. Bless his name. Thank you. Thank you. Come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Everybody standing on your feet right now. Stand on your feet right now.
Make us one, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Make us one.
Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
God, I thank you for what happened this week at Andrews University. An amazing thing happened at Andrews University, our own institution, where finally the president, leaders of the university apologize to people, African-American, African roots, who have been discriminated against over the century. Finally, the university admitted the reality that we have always known. And then God, in a spirit of unity, a spirit of Christ-likeness, they apologized. They said the words, I'm sorry. We are sorry. And so many people who have been to that place felt this cathartic moment, this where our hearts just exploded emotionally. Because number one, these are words we never thought we'd ever hear. Never thought we'd hear from Andrews, I'm sorry. But to hear it, God, moved our spirits. And it reminded us that you are still working on your children. Yes. That this union that we talk about, the union of the body of Christ, is still a work in progress. In the United States, we talk about the formation of a more perfect union. But God, we pray for this more perfect union in your church. In the body of Christ, we pray for a spirit of equality and equanimity, a spirit of love, acceptance, validation, appreciation, support, encouragement, respect, where it doesn't have to be me conforming to you, but both of us bring something valuable to the table, and we affirm each other's differences and celebrate each other's differences. And appreciate each other's differences. Give us that in the body of Christ. We pray for the Church of the Oranges in particular. But we are here, God. And truth is that sometimes we get in our own silos. Guyanese silo, Jamaican silo, Haitian silo, Trinidadian silo, African American silo, and we jockey against each other in the body of Christ here. We pray that we will be one right here. Break down every wall of separation and let this place be a marvelous rainbow coalition of all God's people from all walks of life. Red, yellow, black, white, Chinese, Indian, Hispanic, God, all of us. Indians, God, Koreans, Filipino, all of us together acting down here as if we're getting ready for heaven where we'll all be together. Bless us, God. While we're still praying, I want to give somebody an opportunity. I got to give somebody an opportunity. If you just want to surrender your life to Jesus today, or if you just want to pray, God, break down my stuff. I got some stuff I need you to break down. Break it down in me, Lord, that I'll be more accepting of people who are different than myself. And you just want me to pray for you. Just hurry up, slide out your seat, come right down right quickly. Lord, you just want to pray. Lord, I want you to break down some stuff in me that I need to get rid of, that I treat everybody the same. Come on. Maybe somebody hurt you from a different race and you kind of stereotyped it. Come, I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for your release right now. Anybody want to come? Anybody want to come? Who's coming? Who's going to come? Who's going to be bold enough to say, Pastor, pray for me. I got some stuff I need God to help me with that might love everybody. That's all right. Come on. Come on. Come, somebody who just, I've been hurt. I've been talked about. I've been disrespected by somebody from a certain group and I need God to help me work it out. Come on, I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you right now. In Jesus' name, I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else want to come? Come quickly. Come quickly. I'm about to pray for these who have come. Somebody who just wants to say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus to teach me how to love, how to care. I want Jesus to teach me how to live above all the noise, live above all the noise, to represent him truly. I want to give Jesus my life. Is there anybody who just want to make a surrender, a commitment to Jesus, who just want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make a commitment to Christ right now. I want to lay all my cares, my sins, my stuff at his feet. I want to lay it all down, all my burdens. I want to lay it at his feet right now. I want to lay it at his feet right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. I'm about to pray. Before I pray, if you want to know you need to be in this number, come quickly. Come quickly as I get ready to pray. I know I've kept you long, but I pray, God, that you learn something that will bless your life. God in heaven, thank you today for your word. May it have liberating, emancipating, chain-breaking power. May we all know that we are created by the hand of Almighty God. Your word says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What a thought. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And although I have family members that have my DNA, we're all unique. There's no one exactly like me in the entire world. It's an amazing thought. Thank you, God. I pray for these who have come, Lord, all of us who stand down here have been hurt by people from some place. Some of us have been hurt by white people. Some of us have been hurt by black people. Some have been hurt by Jamaicans. Some have been hurt by Trinidadians. Some have been cussed up by Guyanese. We've all been hurt by people from different places. Today, we put it all at the foot of the cross. We thank you for the balm in Gilead. It heals sin-sick souls. Make the wounded whole. Heal our brokenness, God. And may we grow to love everybody from our experience today. And we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Come on, make us one, Lord. Make us one. Make us one.
Make us one.